From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called Without Fear of Man. The text, Deuteronomy 28, verse 10, And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Then we can have no reason to be afraid of them. This would show a mean spirit and be a token of unbelief rather than of faith. God can make us so like Himself that men shall be forced to see that we rightly bear His name and truly belong to the Holy Jehovah. Oh, that we may obtain this grace which the Lord waits to bestow. Be assured that ungodly men have a fear of true saints. They hate them, but they also fear them. Haman trembled because of Mordecai, even when he sought the good man's destruction. In fact, their hate often arises out of a dread which they are too proud to confess. Let us pursue the path of truth and uprightness without the slightest tremor. Fear is not for us, but for those who do ill and fight against the Lord of hosts. If indeed the name of the eternal God is named upon us, we are secure. For as of old, a Roman had but to say, Romanus sum, I am a Roman, and he could claim the protection of all the legions of the vast empire. So everyone who is a man of God has omnipotence as his guardian, and God will sooner empty heaven of angels than leave a saint without defense. Be braver than lions for the right, for God is with you. If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he continues his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Argument of Paul in Romans. The theme of Romans is the righteousness of God. In this message, Dr. Cairns is explaining the great need that sinners have before a holy God, a need which they have no power to generate or earn on their own. God requires a perfect righteousness, that is, absolute obedience to his law. And no man who ever lived has been able to measure up to that standard, except one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through his atoning death on the cross, Christ fully met the demands of God's law and earned the righteousness which God the Father imputes to those who receive Christ as their Savior and Lord. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, The Argument of Paul in Romans.
Our justification demands our sanctification. We died in Christ, did we not? But then we rose again in Christ. That's what it is to be justified. We died in him. We paid the penalty of our sin in him. We wrought out a perfect righteousness in him. We didn't do it. He did it as our covenant head. But we in him have this perfect righteousness, a death to sin and a resurrection to new life in Christ. Therefore, if we died and we rose again in Christ, how on earth can those who died to sin constantly live in it? Justification is not an argument for loose living. It's an argument for the very opposite. And in fact, this is the real meaning of Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7, that the only true solid basis for holy living is understanding your justification. That's why I said earlier, this is an argument we need to learn, because it is so sad to see people struggling to be holy And preachers detach the doctrine of sanctification from the doctrine of justification, and it's like trying to build a superstructure 3 feet above the foundation with nothing but fresh air in between. Now, you might be able to do that in theory. You could sit down on a drawing board and you could draw the foundation down here and the walls up here with nothing in between them. But I want to tell you, when you get out into the real world and you try to build your house that way, it ain't going to work. That's exactly how it is. We have theorists, and they tell people how to be holy. And there is no foundation laid in their justification. And when those people get out into the real world, it doesn't work. But oh, when you see what it is to be one with Christ, accepted by God in Christ, declared righteous in Christ, when that grips your heart, and you know when he died, I died, when he rose, I rose, when he ascended, I ascended, and in him I have a throne union at the right hand of God. You have not only an argument for your sanctification, but you also have the power. The fourth main section of the book, of this argument rather, says that God's method of justification by imputing the righteousness of Christ makes believers free. Now, I really don't have time to follow this through, and it's a huge statement. In chapter 8, when God imputes the righteousness of Christ to you, justifies you, he makes you free. It's the greatest freedom in the world. Free from condemnation. Chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. Free from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ Jesus are not walking after the flesh. They're not walking under the law. They're walking in the spirit of life in Christ. They are justified and they are free from condemnation. What a joy it is to be able to say, free from the law. And it's talking about the law as a covenant and as a curse, not as a standard of living. Free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has bled and there is remission. Bless God. There's no condemnation. You realize that? We started off with the need of sinners. Condemned already. You and I are sinners by nature. And yet he says, no condemnation. Not in hell. Not even on the way to hell. Not the ghost of a chance of ever falling into hell. Why? Because here is the result of imputed righteousness. Can God take the righteous Christ from his right hand and banish him to outer darkness? Can he do that? Can God discount, ignore, or deny the perfect righteous merit of his Son and say it is unworthy of heaven? Can he do that? Then can he not banish one soul clothed in the righteousness of Christ? That's what it is to be justified by the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. I tell you, it means no condemnation. You're free also to live in holy consecration unto the Lord. That's the meaning of verses 4 through 13 of Romans chapter 8. Justification sets you free to be holy. It's a wonderful thing. When you don't have to set out to establish your own acceptance with God by the merits of your works, when you realize you have acceptance by the merits of Jesus' work on your behalf, it sets you free to serve the Lord in holy consecration. verses 14 and 15. It sets you free to live out all the privileges of the sons of God. Romans 8, 14 and 15, two of the greatest verses in the Bible. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When God justifies you and imputes the righteousness of Christ in you, you're adopted into the family of God. You have a right to the name and all the privileges of the sons of God because you are united to Him who is the Son of God. Bless God, you're free to live out the privileges of God's sons. And then from 16 to the end of the chapter, you have this wonderful statement that looks through time with all its troubles, through death with all its challenges, to the glory that is to come. And you're free from doubt and fear because the Holy Ghost witnesses, one, you're the children of God by faith in Christ. Two, because you're children, you are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You see what he's saying? Can you be doubtful or fearful when you realize I am an heir to everything that Christ is an heir to? That's what he's saying. A joint heir with Christ. You're not going to get some blessings just because Jesus died and rose again. It's not just that God's going to be kind and good to you on the account of the merits of Christ. That's true, but it's only a little part of the truth. This is the truth. Everything that Jesus Christ has merited, everything that he has ever deserved, everything that God has ever promised him, everything that he is heir to, is as much yours if you're in Christ as it is Christ's. That's what he's saying. My, what a gospel this is. What an argument this is. I find you there in the depths of sin, condemned without a shred of godliness or righteousness, and you needed a perfect righteousness, and you could do nothing to get it. I brought you to him whom I have appointed, even Jesus Christ. I've given you faith in him, and by faith in Jesus, I have made you a joint heir with my son. That's God's word. Man, that's the answer to doubt, is it not? That's the answer to fear. Our eternal glory is therefore assured. And the great thing about it is, this assurance rests on the immutable purpose of the unchanging God. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What a chain of grace from eternity in the foreknowledge and predestination of God. I don't understand why Christians don't like those words. I can understand the rebel ungodly fighting against the sovereignty of God. But why God's people should want to fly in the face of their God and fight with God because he said, I foreknew you. I determined to save you. I predestinated you. Why would a Christian not jump for joy? Because I want to tell you, if it had been left to me to get to know God, if it had been left to me to get to choose God, if it had been left to me to get to bring God down to me, I'd be damned eternally. But he said, Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. And he starts in glory, and he ends in glory. He says, that's why we know all things work together for good. That's how we know it. Because, listen, the God who has justified us never changes. Thus we can live in the enjoyment that we're inseparable from the love of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he gives you this long list at the end of Romans chapter 8. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, shall these separate us from the love of Christ? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us. Us guilty, hell-deserving sinners who have been clothed in the righteous garments of Christ's perfection and justified by the imputed righteousness of Christ and united to him and saved by the power of his blood. Nothing will separate us, whom God foreknew, whom God predestined, whom God called, whom God justified, whom God glorified when he raised Christ to heaven. Nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But here's another objection then. This is the meaning of Romans 9, 10, and 11. Hey, the objector says, you glory in God's eternal purpose, but didn't that purpose fail with Israel? Didn't God purpose great things for Israel, and yet he has cast them off? So how can that purpose be such a cause of assurance for you? It's a big section, this one. I will sum it up simply by saying that the answer was God's purposes with regard to Israel did not fail. You've got to distinguish between the natural seed and the spiritual seed of Abraham. And all God's elect in Israel will be saved. Furthermore, the nation of Israel was rejected as a nation because it rejected God's way of salvation. It's therefore cut off from the peculiar promises and the peculiar place promised to it as a nation. But never forget, this is controversial, but we'll prove it if and when we live long enough to get to Romans 11. God hasn't finished with the nation. You can't read Romans 11 and all the spiritualizing of the amillennialists in the world can never get around this. As even some of them are recognizing, God has a future for the nation. And here's a beautiful thought. I love to think of this. The casting off of Israel brought the gospel to the Gentile.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.